When the pains had started, she'd made her way to St. Mary's. Albina was clutching her stomach, trying to stop from crying out. It was strange, but somehow, even though she didn't know how this was supposed to feel, somehow, in some way, something felt wrong. It just felt wrong. The doctors put her in a room, laid her down on a bed. She pushed and pushed when they told her to. She felt the baby move through her, felt it as her baby came. Her son. She felt him, but Albina never heard him cry. Her baby was born dead. Chapter 21. Albina Lloris didn't suffer from the same aching pains as her sister Quinta. The arthritic hips, the loose teeth. She'd once had a rheumatic knee, shortly before she'd married James, but, she said, I got rid of that. It never bothered me any more. Yet just 2 weeks after her baby was stillborn at St. Mary's, as though her body was breaking to match her heart, severe pain appeared in her limbs and her left leg began to shorten. In October 1925, as her family doctor's treatment had brought no relief, Albina consulted Dr. Humphreys at the orthopaedic hospital. It was there, as she overheard the doctors talking about her, that she heard one of them remark that she was a radium case. It was shock after shock, trouble after trouble. I am, Albina later said, so unhappy. As the doctors had done with Quinta, they encased her in plaster for 4 months, hoping it would help her improve. But Albina didn't feel any benefit. I know, she murmured dejectedly. I'm getting weaker, weaker, weaker. Along the corridor from her in the hospital was another former dial painter. Edna Hussman, the Dresden doll as was, had been seeing doctors since September 1925, apparently for rheumatism. When their treatments didn't help, she'd sought out Humphreys. Her trouble had begun back in July. I first started, she later said, with these here pains in my hip. When I would be walking, I would get these sharp pains, and I would stumble. It happened nearly every time I would walk. I just limped along, held on to different things around the house to get around. That is the only way I could get around. Humphreys, who noted that Edna's left leg was an inch shorter than her right, took an X-ray. Edna had walked to the hospital with the help of her husband, Louis, so he didn't think she could be too badly hurt. But when he assessed the picture, he had to think again. Her leg was broken. She'd broken her leg when she stumbled, yet, since the stumble was a slight stumble and not a fall, she had not realised she was so badly injured. Humphreys remembered of Edna's case. She had a spontaneous fracture of the neck of the femur, the thigh bone, and that doesn't occur in young people as a rule. I have never seen a young woman with such a fracture occurring spontaneously. Never. Until now. By that time, Humphreys went on, we knew she was working in the radium plant, and we were beginning to get wise to something unusual happening to these cases. But her X-rays did not show any white shadow or anything but a fracture. It was not radium poisoning. It backed up what Dr. Flynn had told Edna when he'd examined her. While she might not be able to walk anymore, Flynn had assured her just a short time ago that she was in perfect health, so she must be okay. Due to her X-ray, Humphrey simply treated her for a broken leg. They put me in a plaster cast, Edna remembered. and I was laid up for a whole year in this here plaster cast." Louis took her back to their little bungalow and their small white dog, and life went on.